Lesson number 5, Thy Kingdom Come. Now last time we thought about Thy Kingdom Come in the promise of God as a prediction. This time we are to think of Thy Kingdom Come as a prayer. It is so embedded in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus Christ told his disciples, Jesus Christ invites us today, that whenever we will, our opening approach to God should be an invitation that His kingship, His kingdom, shall come in our own lives. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Lord and of His Christ is the total rulership of Christ within the human personality. That He should be Lord, that He should be master in the supreme sense, is the purpose of this prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. It is to be considered from two points of view, the present point of view and the future total consummation in the hereafter. Part number one, when is this to be? Jesus Christ gave a parable. He used a fig tree. He says, when the branch is tender, the buds are coming out, the leaves are forming, that's a herald of the summer. So likewise, when he shall see all these things. All these things. The key is all. It's not one sign. It's not the sign of the fall of Jerusalem that will tell us that he is near, even at the doors. It's not the tribulation of the Middle Ages, of the 1260 years, that it will tell us that he is near. It's not even the great earthquake in Lisbon, 1755, that is to tell us that he is right here. Nor is it the dark day, nor is it the falling of the stars. But as we make a chronological list of the signs of the end, we come to the final one. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Now, in the second part of this, part one, we consider the term that has disturbed many, this generation. This generation is the generation that will see all the signs fulfilled. I have looked at this many times and I cannot escape this contextual thrust. When you see all these things, this generation that sees it all shall not pass. That's exactly the same as we are told about the establishment of the stone kingdom. The kingdom is not going to be handed to another generation. It's this generation that indicates that there is to be no further generation. It's the terminal generation. Now this is the overall cosmic picture of the total thrust of the prophecy with its world view. But we should never forget that as human beings, we only have one lifetime in which to prepare. The gospel has always had to be decided in the generation that heard it. Those who listened to the preaching of righteousness by faith by Martin Luther, that generation had to be ready for Christ's coming or they never make it. In 1961, my father was buried. If he didn't receive the latter rain, if he didn't receive righteousness by faith, if he didn't receive the forgiveness of sins, if he didn't receive the mediation of Christ his high priest, he will never make the kingdom of heaven. So no generation has more than a lifetime to prepare for Christ's coming. But in the total world view, that this generation is the one that sees all these things. Then the end will come. In other words, what Christ is saying is that there will be no more delay. Once the gospel has been preached, the end is there. Part number two continues this idea of when. No man knows the day and the hour, Christ assured. Not even the angels of heaven. Not even the Son. He has surrendered this knowledge to his Father. The Father is the only one who has kept within his heart the knowledge of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, I like that statement that is descriptive of the coming of the Messiah in Desire of Ages. Like the stars in their courses, God's purposes know no haste and no delay. I like that. In all this jangle of talk about a delayed coming of Christ, I think of those calm, serene words, like the stars in their courses, God's purposes know no haste and no delay. In His good time, He is going to carry it out. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, are you now going to establish the kingdom? It's not for you to know. You go out and witness. It's not for me to know. No man knows, so no man should worry about not knowing. We can make all kinds of iffy questions. If Adam and Eve had remained true, if 10 billion people had accepted the proclamation of Noah, if 10 good people had been found in Sodom, if the apostles had done this, if the Middle Ages, if the Millerites, if and if and if. We live in a dream world of fantasy. They didn't. We are to look at the practical things. God's purposes know no haste and no delay. Let's trust. We are safe in the arms of Jesus, and we are to work as if we had 1,000 years, and we should live as if we would end that life now. And with this kind of drive and with this kind of trust, the kingdom of God is within our hearts. Part number 3. I would prefer to entitle it How instead of Why. How is the kingdom to come? By the proclamation of the gospel into all the world. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Then shall the end come. This gospel, the gospel is the power of God, it's God's spell. It's God's phraseology, God's message that changes minds and transforms lives. It concerns the regnancy of Christ within the human personality. It's the kingdom of God within us. It's the power of God that will change those who are in thraldom to the prince of this world. It'll break their fetters. It will open the prison doors. And then it will bring into fellowship in the kingdom of grace all who will come. This gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world for a witness. And the witness is persuasive unto all nations, and then shall the end come. It's a global, it's a nationwide, it's a linguistic transforming power, message, challenge that is to call together God's elect. When that is done, the end will come. And Jesus Christ commissioned His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And each one of us, as our talents indicate, as answerable to God and God alone, must use those talents in spreading the gospel in any way that we can. Part number 4. I would prefer to call it through whom rather than how. Through whom is the kingdom to come? This same Jesus. He is the one who will bring the final consummation of the kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, through the proclamation of Jesus Christ, this kingdom is to be established. And then the king will come in like manner. The same Jesus, visible, audible, tangible. He was received in clouds. He'll come with clouds. The angels escorted Him to His Father's house. The angels will escort Him to find His bride. He shall come. Will not tarry. Paul, looking at this event through inspiration, saw that it was the Lord Himself. No other, no substitute. No go-between, no lesser official, Jesus Himself is going to come. And when He comes with power, with the glory of the Father, His own glory, the glory of the angels. and he can call a dead to life and set in flight all the armies of the evil one. Part number 5. Again, through whom will this kingdom come? In what way? The Son of Man shall come in glory. What is the glory? The glory is the self-sacrificing love that broke the tomb, that crushed the revolting heart, and made of the harlot a witness to the resurrection. He will not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him. It shall be tempestuous round about him. He'll call to the heaven and he'll call to the earth as he judges mankind. This coming of Christ is one of the most thrilling visions ever granted to mankind. John in the 6th chapter of Revelation sees the very stars move out of their way to allow the vast procession led by Christ upon his white horse to come to find his bride. Habakkuk saw it and trembled. Isaiah saw it and was filled with wonder. John saw it and was thrilled. Paul saw it. Ellen White saw it. The glory is beyond description. Part number 6. How to be ready for that kingdom. Allow God to answer our prayers. We pray, Thy kingdom come. We pray, Lord, I accept Thee as Master and Lord in my life. We pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what do? We move ourselves from being in tune with God. When circumstances indicate it, and the impression comes to our minds, I should do this. I shouldn't do this. We go ahead and do it anyway. We override that signal from the Holy Spirit. Now, if we want to be ready for that coming, we must pray every day to be sensitized to these signals that come from the Spirit. The Spirit sometimes sends angels. He sometimes sends a friend. He sometimes sends circumstances in life. He sometimes sends sickness. He sometimes sends bereavement. He sometimes sends a preacher. He sometimes sends a spark from the written word that has been waiting in quietness to speak to our hearts for 4,000 years. But he sends a signal. And if we want the kingdom of God to come in our hearts, we must pray to be sensitized to hear these signals. We must pray to be allowed to sharpen the tuning when we are listening. And then, having prayed that, we should watch. Watch. Am I doing this? Am I walking in the way? Am I examining myself to see whether I'm in the faith? What manner of person am I? Am I giving diligence to make my calling and election sure? If I do all these things, then not only do I look for, but my very life hastens the coming of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to look at the reference of the margin. It's hastening toward. Sometimes our Christian experience seems to us to be marching toward the kingdom on very dilatory feet. Slow, shuffling, diverging. At other times, we march steadfastly forward and upward. We should give diligence to make our calling and election sure. We've been called. We've been chosen to life. We've heard the gospel. We've accepted the Spirit. The Spirit is in our minds. And as you listen to my words, you are conscious that the Spirit is talking to you. Resolve this moment that you will help the kingdom to come by allowing your mind to grow day by day more sensitive to the signals of the Spirit.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.